I want to talk to you tonight for a while on the subject entitled The Commission of the Gospel Preacher. The Commission of the Gospel Preacher. We find that in these words, in verses 17, 18, and 19. I want to read them again to us. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. This is the commission of the gospel preacher. Whether a missionary, evangelist, or a minister, the gospel preacher is a unique person. In this sense, he's a man with a mandate from a high up source. He is the servant of the Most High God with a commission. And that commission itself is unique, as we have just read the details there in verses 17 to 19 of Ezekiel 3. This commission ought never to be treated lightly or flippantly by the one bearing it. It should be to the preacher as the prophet's commission was to them. We read in different parts of the Bible, in Nahum chapter 1 verse 1, in Zechariah chapter 12 verse 1, and in Malachi 1 verse 1, whenever the prophets were introducing their commission, they spoke of it as the burden of the word of the Lord. And so it should be. This commission is to be treated as a burden, a very heavy charge upon the preacher, as we shall see. Now there are three things from these verses that we have read together in Ezekiel chapter 3 that I want you to notice with regard to this commission. First of all, there is the authority that it possesses. All commissions that are given to people have a certain degree of authority, but none like this. This commission has so much authority that we can see it from its source. The source of the commission came from none other than the highest, called the Most High God, the God of heaven and earth. Notice the wording there in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman. I have made thee. The man bearing the commission, the preacher, is a product of divine thought and divine activity. This commission is not to be taken upon Ezekiel by himself. We read in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 4, whenever God was speaking about the priesthood, he says, no man taketh this upon himself, but is called of God, as was Aaron. No man can presume to enter into the office of a preacher without the call of God. It's not something that comes by a man of his own volition or his own initiative. He might be looking around with regard to a career. Shall I choose the educational? No, I'll not be a teacher. Shall I choose the medical? No, I'll not be that. Shall I go into law? Shall I go into banking? Shall I go into industry? No, not that. I know what I'll do. I'll be a preacher. Oh, my dear friend, that's deadly. It'll be detrimental to him, and it will be detrimental to the people that he may have the privilege of preaching to. No, a preacher with a commission is one who has his commission from Almighty God. He doesn't take it upon himself, that is the man. Neither can he become a man with a commission by clerical preferment. Maybe there's a hierarchy, and they look at young people in the congregation and say, well, you've got a bit of talent. You've got a bit of ability. Do you ever think of the ministry? Why don't you go in? Why don't you go off and study and be a minister and enter upon that course of study? It doesn't come that way either, friend. And then again, you have families who are pushy. They're church families. And they say, oh, now the ministry will be a nice responsible, dignified position for you to hold. And after all, you have ministers in our family history. Why don't you get into that stream, into that train? My dear friend, that is not the authority of a commission. The authority of the commission lies in God Himself. He and none other confers it. That's the source of it. We read in the book of Jeremiah these words that are startling. This is what God says about the false prophets of the day in chapter 23 of Jeremiah and in verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. God was disowning them. The Lord Jesus spoke about the hireling shepherd in John 10, who whenever they see the wolf coming, they will flee and leave the sheep. But the man with the commission of God will stay by the stuff. He will shepherd the flock. He will lead the work. But you can see the authority that this commission possesses, not only by its source, but by its stages. How does this commission become a man's? Well, let me trace it for you very simply. The man that God wants into the office of the ministry or a missionary or an evangelist, first of all, he saves that man. There'll be a time in his life whenever he'll hear the effectual call and he'll respond. He'll see himself a lost sinner on the way to hell, and he will see there's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus, and he'll call upon the Lord Jesus to be his Savior, and he'll trust him. And then by and by, it could even happen around the same time as it has on other occasions to other people. But if it doesn't happen at the same time that he has got converted, sometime after his conversion, that young man will sense the call of God in his life. He may say, God is calling me to something. I don't know what it is yet, but I know that I'm being called. And there'll be an awareness of God moving in his life. Then there'll be an interest in some aspect of the Lord's work. It may be the ministry, it may be the mission field, it may be the wider evangelistic field. And that interest will develop into a desire. And then that desire will become so intense that it will weigh heavily upon him as a burden. That's the call of God. And the congregation and the presbytery, if he's in Presbyterian circles, but there'll certainly be another body of people who will affirm that God is working in his life. They will know that. So he's saved, he's called, and then he's appointed. God has set his mark in that man even before the man was born. And then by and by, he'll be equipped. God will gift him with certain abilities and gifts to use in his service. And then the time will come whenever he will be sent. He'll take his leave of the people that he's been associated with for a long time. And then he'll go out and he'll serve the Lord in some form of Christian service. But at any rate, the man has a commission, and there's authority in that commission because God has been in it from the very beginning, saving him, calling him, and conferring that mission, that commission upon him. Let me say this to young people tonight, perhaps, who may be thinking of what they're going to do in their future. If there is the interest in your life, for let me call it full-time service, make sure that you seek the Lord. Talk to him about it. Lord, is this of myself that I'm feeling? Is this burden of myself, or is this something that you have placed there? And let me tell you, by and by, you will know, because God's more concerned for you to know than what you're even concerned yourself. God will make it plain to you. And I want to say to you, young people, take your time. Don't run before God. Wait on the Lord. He'll guide you in the way that you should go. And then whenever God has called you, you'll have authority, not an arrogance, not a dictatorial attitude, but a quiet confidence that I am God's messenger and the Lord's message. and you serve him as he leads you. There will be the process. He'll call you, he'll appoint you, he'll equip you, and he'll send you, all in his own good time, if you leave yourself open to him. That's the first thing, the authority of this commission. The Lord says, I have made thee a watchman. And then I want you to notice, secondly, not only the authority of this commission that it possesses, but the duty that it highlights. Once you've got the commission, friend, you've got to work, and really work. Notice what we read in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning for me. Now, there are three things to notice about the duty here. First of all, there is the work that's entailed. His role? A watchman. Now, the Bible has much to tell us about watchmen, but let me sum it up for you. A watchman in ancient times was one that took his place in guarding the city. And there usually was a watchtower at different parts around the walls of those cities in ancient times. And this watchman would watch for any spies. He would watch for any invaders. He would watch for any threat. He would watch for any dangers and make sure that the people within the confines of the wall were being kept safe and secure. That was his duty. He must be alert and conscientious at all times. Listen to what we read about these watchmen who were not the watchman. And we learn this in the prophecy of Isaiah. Let me read some words to you from Isaiah 56 and the 10th verse. He says, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving the slumber. Their duty ought to have been throughout the night watches, watching the city, guarding the city. But here we're told, dumb dogs that can't bark. You know what that would mean. If you have a guard dog and a dog can't bark, it's not going to be of any use to you. And then he talks about these people lying down and slumbering. And who knows what danger is lurking outside the city walls. So here is a situation. The minister has always to be alert. The evangelist has to be always on his toes. The missionary has always to be watchful in order that the flock will be preserved. This is what the preacher has to do. He's a watchman. He must see the danger and warn the people. And let me say this to those who are not Christians here tonight. This is a very important part of the commission of the watchman in these days. He has to warn you of the danger coming. Ladies and gentlemen and young people, the Bible says there is wrath to come. And the watchman says, flee from the wrath to come. You say, what's the wrath? The wrath is the judgment of God upon sin. The wrath is God's punishment that will fall upon men and women who have rejected his love and said no to his grace and turned away from the overtures of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As a watchman with a commission, I've got to warn you, there's danger coming to you who are still in your sin. Flee from the wrath to come. But the duty concerned not only the work, the duty concerned the word. Notice this 17th verse again. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. The watchman had to bring a true message to the people. Whatever he was aware of the dangers that were lurking, he had to be conscientious and bring the message. Now, the people may not like to be disturbed in their ears. They may resent it. It may be an unwelcome message. But it had to be delivered. And this watchman, he had to be in touch. And as far as the spiritual application of it, the preacher of the gospel with this great commission, he has to be in touch with God. He has to be in communion with God. He has to have a message with God. He must be a man of the book. Notice what the word says in verse 17. Hear the word at my mouth. If you're ever going to be a preacher, whether at home or abroad, or whether with a roving commission as an evangelist, you need to know the word of God. The older you get, the longer in the Christian life, the longer in the service of God, you cannot presume on all the experiences and material that you've gathered up in the past. But you must ever be seeking to know God better, to know the Word of God more, and constantly, day by day, study God's Word, memorize it, and do it. This is all part of the duty associated with this commission. There's the work entailed. He's a watchman. There's the Word entailed. He has got to bring the Word of God as God gives it to him, whether it's welcomed by the people that he's bringing it to or not. He's got to be faithful to God's Word. And then there's the warning. Notice that 17th verse again. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Nobody likes to be warned. Warning means danger ahead. And people that like to go on in their same humdrum way do not like their feathers ruffled. They do not like their routines tampered with. But men and women, you've got to waken up. We read in the book of Amos that God says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. You've got to stir up, man. You've got to realize, lady, that things are not always going to be the same as what they are. Whether it's regarding the health of our bodies, whether it's regard to our domestic circumstances, or whether it's regard to our business circumstances, things do not stay the same. Forever, there will always be change. And I want to say to you tonight, if you've been having no trouble, if you've been having no bother, that's good. But there can come an evil day. Circumstances can change. And if you haven't got Christ, you have no anchor. You have no rock upon which you may lean. You have no strong tower into which you may run whenever the hail of wrath and judgment and adverse circumstances begins to shower all around you. Got to warn you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, there is a place called hell. The Bible tells us it's as real as heaven. The Bible tells us it's eternal. The Bible tells us every person who is not a Christian, whether they be religious or have no time for religion, if they are without the Lord Jesus Christ and have no trust in Him as their Savior, they will eventually and ultimately end up in that terrible place. It's a warning I've got to give. So now that you're in possession of the warning, respond to it. Take precautions and make readiness for it. You do that by acknowledging that you're a sinner on the way to hell. Don't argue with the biblical record. This is what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Because there is wrath, beware lest he take thee away with a stroke. Don't argue with the biblical record. Accept it. And then respond to it. See that God has provided a way of escape through the Lord Jesus. Not through a church or religious sacraments or rites or ceremonies, but through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, who came into this world and went on to the cross at Calvary at the appointed time, laid down His life a ransom for the many by the shedding of His blood as He offered Himself without spot unto God a sacrifice for sin, died and rose again from the dead, went back to heaven, and He's ever living and He's offering salvation to the sinner tonight. Then receive that Christ. Receive that salvation. Turn from your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Heed the warning. Heed the warning voice. Make the Lord your final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice. Be in time. And then I want you to notice lastly this. We've seen the authority that this commission possesses. Divine. It originates from heaven. We've seen its source. And then we have seen the duty. It concerns the warning and the word and the work. Notice lastly the gravity that this commission occasions. Notice verse 18 and verse 19. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, And thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now this gravity can be seen in the very commission itself. What it creates, what it engenders, what it stirs, what it genders and what it stirs. Now it concerns two matters. First of all, the bearer of the message of the commission. The man upon whom God has conferred this commission. It concerns him. Let's notice that first of all. It deals with a possible failure. Notice the wording. Givest him not warning. That concerns the man that's got the commission. The watchman. He's not alert to what's going on the other side of the city walls. He's sleeping. Or else for some reason or another, he will not tell the people of the danger. He's failing in his duty to warn the people. Imagine a disease-stricken town. And some man, a doctor, a scientist, comes up with a remedy, a panacea, and says, I have found it. This will deal with the infection and the disease. But he says, this is worth a lot of money. I can go away somewhere else where it'll be appreciated. And he goes away somewhere else and doesn't bother with the townspeople that he'd been working among. What kind of a man would he be? He said he wouldn't be fit for this earth. Well, no less, the person who's in the holy office of preaching and does not tell the people that the wages of sin is death, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that we must be born again. The Lord's telling him there's a failure here. Or if a thief is looking around a home and you're passing by and you see the home of someone about to be burgled, and you do nothing to raise the alarm. And then you hear the next day that not only has there been a burglary, but there has been a terrible assault on the inhabitant of that house. Maybe an old person has been brutalized and traumatized. Maybe even in danger of life. Danger of death, fighting for life. What kind of a person would you have thought that person to be? Wouldn't be a very high opinion you would have of yourself, ladies and gentlemen, would you? I don't think you would be like that. You would warn the people right away or raise the alarm. But the man who is a preacher and is not telling the people of the love of Jesus and warning them of the danger ahead, he's like that passerby. He's not giving the warning. Well, the Lord says, that person who's wicked and living in sin, they will pay the price of their sin. But God says, I will require it at thine hand. I will hold you accountable, he's saying to the watchman. And so he will hold the preacher who has not warned the flock that God has put him in charge of, who has not warned the people that God has brought to hear him, who has gone to the mission field, and has talked about everything other than the gospel of Christ. God will hold us all accountable. So there is gravity here, and it concerns the bearer of the message. And I thank God for the many workers we have in this church, among children, among elderly, among youth, and generally. Make sure that if you're going out with a purpose of witnessing, whether it's here in the building or outside, make sure that you center on Christ and his gospel and the consequences of not receiving Christ for the people. So there's a gravity concerned with the bearer of the message of the commission. But there is gravity concerned with the hearer of the message of the commission. Notice what we read about this person in verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Die in his iniquity. Think of what happened to King Herod in the book of Acts. whenever he went down to make a certain speech, and he spoke with such eloquence and oratory that the people said, oh, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of God. And immediately God smote him. And shortly after, he died. Think of what happened to Jezebel, who set up that godly man Naboth and had people kill him. It wasn't too long after that, before she died in her iniquity, having been privileged to know something of the ministry of the mighty Elijah and even the godliness of the man Naboth who owned the vineyard. Think of Belshazzar, who was living it up in the palace that night, and to add insult to injury, not only was he given to revelry and drunkenness and idolatry, but he sent for the holy vessels that had been deported from Jerusalem to Babylon with the captives, and he had the alcohol and the liquor poured into them, and they drank out of them to their gods. And God stepped in, and with his finger wrote in the wall, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. He would die that night. Think of the world. Whenever Noah was building the ark, they saw rain before. Why are you building this ark, Mr. Noah? Oh, there's going to be judgment in the form of rain and floods. And what guffaws they were, what laughter there was. But whenever the first droppings began to be felt, the cloud darkened, and then they became more heavy. And the fountains of the great deep, the subterranean depths, began to churn and break up. And in addition to all of that, the windows of heaven were opened. They realized that Noah was right and they were wrong, but it was too late. Noah, no doubt, would have great regret to see so many perishing, but he knew that he had honored God. He was exonerated of any blame. And I want it to be that way, ladies and gentlemen, with you, that you will never be able to say the day whenever we meet in God's eternity that you came to this church and there was a time server here, never warned me, never preached Christ, never preached of hell, never preached of the judgment of God. And I would hate that you should hear all of this and die and go to hell. But I would want that you'd be able to say, the fault is my own. I cannot blame the preacher of the gospel. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote when he was writing to the Corinthians. And with this, we'll come to a close. When Paul was writing his second letter to the Corinthians, he had this to say in verse 14 to verse 16. Listen carefully. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. So what he's saying is, no matter where we go, and no matter what the results, we are triumphing in Christ. The savour of Christ is coming into that locality. Now here's what he says in the next verse. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. Even though there may be those in a preacher's congregation who will die impenitent, God says, even in them that perish, the apostle or the preacher is a sweet savour to God. Verse 16, to the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. But either way, still a savour to God. And then he finishes, who is sufficient for these things? Men and women, this commission has tremendous authority with it. It has got duties entailed in it, and it's grave in its character. You have a responsibility to it tonight. If you're not saved, receive the message. Receive the warning. Turn from your sin. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And if you are a Christian, you have a responsibility. Recognize this commission. Appreciate it. And pray for it, that God will honor it as it is born and proclaimed in this place and beyond. Make sure tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that your response is right. And let me say it finally again. As a man or a woman or a girl or a boy, and you are concerned about your soul, you want to be saved, I'll count it a joy. If you would want to come to me, I can point you to Christ. If not, even when you sit in your seat, you can trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you're thoughtless, if you're going to leave it off to another time, I don't know how much time you want. Time is swiftly gliding by. And soon death will come to us all, or Christ may come back first. But eternity is looming. Make sure. Make sure this very night you heed the warning. Receive the Savior. Don't neglect any longer. Put your trust in Him. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And call upon Him while He is near. Let's bow together in prayer.